Okay, hope everybody had a nice weekend. The only thing strange about mine was that it is literally July 20th and my entire yard is still green. Not used to seeing this color this late in the summer, so had to mow again. Anyways, so this week we're going to be doing two experiments. You're going to be working with your partner again, a reminder how this works. You will do one of the experiments, your partner will do the other experiment, and then you share data with each other and you write both reports to turn them in. Okay? So both experiments this week will be dealing with carbonyl compounds. The first one is called the aldol condensation reaction. And when you look at a carbonyl molecule that has what it's called an alpha proton. That is a hydrogen that is attached to the carbon, bonded to the carbonyl carbon. The pKa of this proton is between usually 18 and 20. Now, obviously, this isn't a really strong acid. But it is also not something that requires extreme conditions to do an acid-base reaction with. So you can take a molecule like acetaldehyde right here in the presence of sodium hydroxide, and you can remove this proton. Now the reason why this particular hydrogen is more acidic than say your regular alkane hydrogen has to do with the resonance stability offered because of the carbon-oxygen double bond. So we can form a resonance structure. This is called an enolate. Okay, so the net result of adding a base to a carbonyl compound that has an acidic alpha proton is that we have generated a nucleophilic carbon. And you can now take that nucleophilic carbon and use it to attack an electrophilic carbon. So this is a similar idea we talked about with the Grignard reaction. We are creating nucleophilic carbons to form new carbon-carbon bonds. Okay, so you can imagine the enolate reacting with the parent carbonyl here. And so we would form this new carbon-carbon bond. Of course, this is an intermediate and there's a water molecule floating around, and that enables us to form the final product, which is in this case is called a beta. I have a problem when it's this low. There we go. Beta high hydroxyaldehyde. Okay, so again, this is a new reaction we can use to form another carbon-carbon bond. This particular reaction is relatively straightforward to do. You take acetaldehyde, a little bit of sodium hydroxide, add a little bit of heat, and the reaction takes care of itself. But what if you want to do a much more complicated aldol reaction? So, you know, let's put on our imagination hats and see what kind of extremely wild aldol reaction can we think of. So let's take a look at this one. We're going to take acetaldehyde and try to react it with propanol. Now, I know we're in crazy territory here with reactions, and all we've done is add a methyl group to one of the two molecules. doesn't seem like this is that difficult. But in reality, this is a much, much harder reaction to do. This is what we call a mixed aldol reaction. We are trying to form a carbon-carbon bond from two different carbonyl carbons. And when you try to do a mixed aldol reaction, you have to deal with two major problems. The first is multiple enolates. In this case, there are two possible enolates that can form. Acetaldehyde and propanol can each form one enolate. And we also have multiple electrophiles. So there are two carbonyl carbons. So we have two electrophilic carbons, and we're going to be able to form two enolates. Now, if we want to direct this reaction and form one of those four enolates possible, we can't just mix everything together and hope for the best. We have to somehow set up the reaction so that particular enolate is formed. Now, normally what you would do here is, okay, let's say we want acetaldehyde to still be our nucleophile. We want to make that the enolate. So what you would do is you would make the enolate first, and then you would add your electrophilic carbon second. It was kind of similar to what we did with the Grignard reaction. We made the Grignard reagent first, then we combined it with the carbon dioxide to get the specific reaction we wanted. Same basic idea here. We're making the enolate, and then we're trying to do the carbon-carbon bond-forming reaction separate. Okay, there's a problem with that, and that is, I said all you have to do to get the aldol reaction to work with acetaldehyde is add a little bit of sodium hydroxide and a little bit of heat. It's going to react with itself. And the reason for that has to do with the KEQ of this reaction. So when you take an alpha proton with sodium hydroxide, you get a KEQ roughly equal to about 10 to the minus 4. Now, if I asked you a very simple question on, say, a quiz, hey, reaction A plus B goes to C, KEQ roughly equal to 10 to the minus 4. What can you tell me about this reaction at equilibrium? What would your answer be? Exactly right. Remember, KEQ equals products over reactants. We're reviewing Gen Chem here, folks. You thought you could get away with it? Nope. Every now and then, it's going to creep back in to organic chemistry. So in order for you to have a number less than one, your products has to be smaller than your reactants. We have a number significantly less than one, so we have very little product relative to the reactants. Now, when you're trying to react acetaldehyde with itself, this isn't a big deal. You make a little bit of the enolate, it reacts with the aldehyde, that enolate is removed. And Le Chatelier's principle says if we remove a product, the equilibrium is going to keep pushing it to make more and more of the enolate. Okay? So this equilibrium issue does not matter when you're trying to react acetaldehyde with itself. This is a problem, however, if we want to react acetaldehyde with propanol. What we have to do is we have to shift the equilibrium so that we have a whole lot more of the enolate than we do the reactants. Now, of course, we can never get KEQ we can never get the reactants and products number to zero. Okay, that's because the mathematicians a long time ago said, you can't divide by zero. Just can't do it. Now, zero factorial equals one, and I have never understood the logic behind it, But I'm sitting here going, if you can define something like that, zero times anything equals zero, right? Not in this case, it's one. So I'm always, well, if you divide by zero, we'll just define it as equaling this. Mathematicians say no. Who am I to argue? So we have to produce more enolate. And the way we would do that here is we would use a much, much more powerful base. In this case, something like LDA, which stands for lithium diisopropylamide. Don't need to worry about the structure, just understand it's a very, very powerful base. And if we use this, we get a KEQ of roughly 10 to the 17th. That's a big number. I used to always joke, I'd take that in pennies any day. But if you think about it, where the heck would you put them? 10 to the 17th pennies. You'd need a football stadium just to store them. And then say, hey, I want to deposit this. The bank would say no, okay? So electronic deposits only. I'll take 10 to the 17th pennies in an electronic form, cryptocurrency or whatever, okay? So this is how we can do a mixed aldol reaction now. We take our alpha proton, convert it to such a large percentage of the enolate that the little bit of the remaining aldehyde in solution is no longer anything that we really have to worry about. Then we add that to the propanol and we get the product that we want. Okay, so we are going to be doing a mixed aldol reaction for this experiment. We're going to take acetophenone, mix it with p-anis aldehyde and a little bit of sodium hydroxide and a tiny bit of heat to make the beta hydroxy ketone. And then this beta hydroxy ketone undergoes rapid dehydration to form our final product, trans P anisal. Was on a roll. Acetophenone. I like to say it as transpanisal acetophenone. Took me a little while to get there. It just flows. Okay? You know, think of some of the names that we've made, of products we've made. Benzoic acid. No matter how fast you say that, there's no flow to it. But transpanisal acetophenone, that really flows, okay? All right, so hopefully you guys caught something, and that is we are not keeping the two reactants separate. We're mixing them together. And we are not using the powerful base. Instead, we're using sodium hydroxide. And yet, we can do this, and still, we're only going to expect transpanisal acetophenone as the dominant product here. So why is this aldol reaction considered an exception? Why don't we have to take those special steps because of the mixed aldol problems? Yes? The aldehyde does play a role in this, and I'll get to that, okay? But you remember, there are two problems when doing a mixed aldol reaction. Multiple electrophiles, multiple enolates, okay? So the multiple electrophiles, I'll get to that. I want to focus on the enolates first, though. Why don't we have to worry about multiple enolates here? Yes? There is only one possible enolate because acetophenone, that is the only molecule that has an alpha proton. Okay, so there is only one enolate. So that issue is not a problem. We still have two electrophiles, though. And so why isn't acetophenone, enolate, reacting with acetophenone? Instead, it's preferentially reacting with the aldehyde. Well, if we look at the two molecules, both of them have a benzene ring on one side, and one of them has a methyl group, whereas the other one has a hydrogen. And aldehydes are better electrophilic carbons than ketones because there's less steric hindrance when you're attacking it. Okay? It's a lot easier to get to the carbonyl carbon when all you're having to do is avoid a hydrogen. A methyl group isn't huge relative to a hydrogen, but that slight difference in activation energy is enough that the aldehyde reaction is going to happen faster. Okay, and by the way, this is a theme that we're going to see sometimes in chemistry. I asked that question on the last quiz we took. When we talked, not the last quiz, the quiz before that, when I talked about the stereochemist reaction on the quiz, and I said, hey, why isn't the addition reaction taking place in the stereochemistry reaction that we did? And the answer was, well, the radical is a much more powerful reactant than the corresponding alkene attacking the bromine. And once you get the radical reaction started, boom, it forms a product which crashes out of solution. Okay, so oftentimes in reactions, whichever one reacts faster will win the race. And this is what's going on here, because as soon as acetophenone reacts with PNS aldehyde, it rapidly undergoes dehydration. Now, why is that? Well, all we have to do is look at this. Double, single, double, single, double, single, double, single, double. We have this extended conjugation that forms. And what do we remember about extended conjugation? It's very energetically stable, right? And so we kind of have this, you know, energy sink that's forming so that as soon as the transpanacyl acetophenone is formed, it is so stable that the reaction between acetophenone and itself simply doesn't have enough time to create large amounts of product. Yes, some of it is. That's why we don't get 100%. But the large percentage of this reaction produces our product. Okay? All right. So, in terms of reactions itself, this is a relatively simple, easy, relatively safe reaction. Of course, in any reaction we do in organic chemistry, we always have to practice normal safety practices, proper PPE, etc. But none of the chemicals that we're using are serious enough that they require special attention. All right, so just be aware of the fact that I'm working with organic molecules. I'm working with some sodium hydroxide. Don't eat anything and you're going to be fine. Okay. All right. In terms of time, about 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer to get to the product. And then another 30 to 40 minutes to isolate the final product. So about an hour and a half to 2 hours from start to finish. Not that bad. Product analysis is we are going to take an IR. We are going to do a percent yield. Now, really, really good yields are about 75%, but most of you will hopefully get between 50 and 60%. Now, the reason for this is simply the amounts we're using. We're doing this microscale, you can expect roughly 100 milligrams of product. And so any minor mistakes you make result in a substantially high percentage loss of product. So in order to get really good yields, you have to be very, very cautious, paying really close attention. Okay, so again, one minor mistake, you lose 20 milligrams. That's 20% of your product just gone, okay? So yields are okay. And when we look at the IR, we're specifically looking just for this carbonyl peak. If you think about the two reactants, one is a ketone, one is an aldehyde, so we know there's going to be a shift between those two carbonyl peaks. So we're looking for a ketone carbonyl peak in our products, okay? And the carbon-hydrogen stretches should basically be small, all right? Yes, I know we have this methyl group here, but it's basically going to get buried in all of the aromatic carbon-hydrogen stretches that you're seeing, okay? So we're just going to see those little telltale bumps at the carbon-hydrogen stretch around 3,000 inverse centimeters, okay? So the two big things we're looking for, relatively small carbon-hydrogen stretch and a ketone peak in our carbonyl, okay? Okay, so as I said, fairly straightforward experiment. Doesn't take a whole lot of time. Oh, obviously, I did forget, yes. It's a solid, so we're taking a melting point, okay? Any questions with the aldol reaction? Again, about 2 hours time difference. Or 2 hours for you to finish the lab, excuse me.